This week I saw signs asking for Rotark to fly. That's just scary. I don't want a huge, lardy, evil man with a hook that barks well, like he farts above me in the sky.
When pigs fly.
Welcome to the Omnic Weekly, the Overwatch podcast that totally called it that the next hero would be Jetpack Cat. Oh, wait, no, it's Brigitte, isn't it? Damn it. This is episode 8. I'm Dee, and this week I'm joined by Sugar Pixie.
Hello.
Hey, Sugar Pixie. And by Hannah.
Hello.
Hey, Hannah. And last but not least, we have Lance Pons. He's back.
It's Lance Pons. What's up, guys?
Hey, how is everybody doing?
Good. Cold. Downing in snow. Yeah.
I was waiting for all the cold remarks except from Florida.
Yeah, are here. We're at 29 degrees Celsius, enjoying winter.
Oh, God. That's just evil. That's downright evil. We are freezing our proverbial asses off at, I think, -5? I don't know what it is in your weird temperature, but it's cold. Trust me. It's really cold.
It's going to be good.
It will be fine eventually. I hope we finally get a summer sometime soon. I'm really done with winter. Sorry, May. All right, let's kick it off with the news of the week.
That's one big hog.
So, I think the big thing this week, we can get around it. We talked about it in the last podcast, and we had these predictions, and we had these ideas, suggestions. We've been discussing them all week on Discord too, but this week, the 27th hero dropped, was introduced by Blizzard, and it is, I'm always saying Brigitte, but it's not Brigitte, it's Brigitte.
Brigitte! Yeah.
Some people were getting upset on the internet and going, it's not Brigitte, motherfucker, it's Brigitte, whatever. So, Brigitte was introduced, and the biggest surprise of all, after all the teasing, which we'll come back to later, is that she's a support character.
Controversial,
yeah.
She's support plus.
She's support officially. Everything, actually. So after, I think a week of teasing, we got a lot of screenshots that were put on Twitter showing off plans of weapons and of shields that were made, which really pointed to Brigitte as the next hero. But they always kept in that little hint to Jetpack Cat. There was the cat's tail and the cat's paw, and there was this little sketch of Jetpack Cat. And they were trying to distract us with Jetpack Cat. But in the end, it turned out it wasn't her. It's Brigitte, the daughter of Torbjörn.
I gotta say, though, I'm really happy that they made Brigitte a cat lover, you know, that she has cats. For all us cat people out there, you know we hype that up.
They are represented. I love the way that what they did an origin story movie, and one of the images that they use is Brigitte making an armor as a 12-year-old girl for a cat, and the cat really looked like one of the sketches they did of Jetpack Cat. So Jetpack Cat was actually in there.
He was teased.
Yeah. We might eventually see, I don't know. I don't want to see it. Do you guys want to see a Jetpack Cat?
No. In all honesty, no. Yeah. As a sidekick or a pet of a hero, okay. But not as a hero. Just, no.
I wouldn't mind seeing one in like a Halloween spray or something.
Yeah. Like an emote. Like Arisa's, you know, she got the puppy and Brigitte could get the cat. That'd be great.
One of the ideas that was going around on our Discord server, and I'm not sure that we discussed this last week, was that Jetpack Cat could be the ultimate of Brigitte. So the moment that she has her ultimate charge, that she shoots off some sort of Jetpack Cat that starts shooting at you from the sky. And I could live with that. That would have been funny, but I don't want a cat roaming around on the payload.
I don't want to take a cat into a fight like that. Jeez.
The internet's going to go wild. You know, when you bring those thoughts, people just take that and it formulates into memes. That's the birth of memeing.
Yeah. I think we'll hear a lot of that. I think she'll be coming back, or he. I don't know if it's she or he, that Jetpack Cat, for till the end of these. Well, the end of Overwatch, at least. So, like I said before, the biggest surprise was, of course, that she's a support character. A lot of people were thinking that she might be defense, maybe a tank, because she was the squire. That's a word I haven't used in a long time. The squire of Reinhardt, which was clearly, well, if you looked at the shield, it didn't take too long to get to figure that out. He had the same lion head. And she wanted to venture onto the battlefield to defend or to help Reinhardt fighting all the bad guys. And she was fed up with repairing his armor afterwards, and she wanted to be there to kick their asses as they were destroying his armor, which is a good enough reason to be there. A lot of people had their, how do you say, tail twisted into whatever. I don't know. There's this proverb you can say, or...
It's knickers in a twist.
Knickers in a twist. Thank you, Hannah.
So
I knew
close.
Something. Yeah, I knew something was twisted up. I just... Oh, damn it. Because, yeah, we had Moira just like a few months ago as the new support character. Nobody was expecting to get a new one. But what do you guys think? Do you like the fact that she's a support character? Or are you throwing plates at the wall in disgust of this new role that she fills?
I don't think we needed another support character just yet. But the fact that she's such kind of like a hybrid, you know, like with her shield, she can be quite tanky. And it's more about defending the other heroes on your team rather than fixing them up afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like swings and roundabouts, really.
Yeah, I agree with Hannah. The label may say support, but like in if you're actually playing her, she feels more like a tank defense hybrid to me. She feels way more like a tank than she does that she feels like a support. Like Moira damages, but like the main thing she does is heal, like spray people with a healing spray that does it like a ton of healing. But Brigitte is more like go into the fray, protect your teammates, defend the points, defend your team, and be really tanky in the process. So the label might be support, but personally, I would call her a tank defense hero in practice.
Yeah.
I
like your team
really
gets rewarded for you doing damage, so.
I haven't really got to play her. Yeah. As you guys know, I'm a console pleb. So I haven't really gotten the PTR changes. But from what it looks like, it seems to be a much needed change because Dive is just so prevalent still in the meta. Mm-hmm. And we don't see a lot of Reinhardt, you know, big rectangle shield man. And I would love to see Reinhardt again, you know, more being more played, at least in the professional and more in games too, you know.
Yeah. So, well, I agree with you guys that I don't know why they put her in the support category. It's the whole Symmetra thing all over again. Well, just a tad better because she actually heals, and that's something Symmetra doesn't do. But about 60 or maybe 80% of all her skills are DPS or tanking skills. And just the fact that she can throw something at your face that heals you, well, I don't know if that makes you a support character.
I think maybe they wanted to put her in there because she can, doing damage with her flail heals people around her.
Yeah.
To sort of signify, hey, if I do this, I heal people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't noticed, I noticed that it works and it does a job, but it's not like it's not as, it doesn't have the impact of a Lucio boost or something. So
No, it's not that,
Yeah, not no Bupio God hailing. I heard the rally. I heard her ultimate. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's kind of like the Lucio aura. It's a little bit bigger, and it provides healing and armor.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're with her, it's amazingly powerful. but used on its own, it just kind of gives her a bit of a speed boost.
He encourages and a flag, like, the, a flag on her back.
And a flag, of course.
What were you going to say, Lance?
Oh, I guess it just encourages more of a death ball-y play style, you know, to stick together as a team,
yeah,
push for the objective. And
that's something we need in the game, because that has been an issue for a lot of players, that everybody starts wandering around. At a certain moment, everybody is a flanker. You see Roadhog flanking, Reaper flanking, everybody's off. And if you're playing support, you're on the payload waiting for the others to come back, which isn't actually the team play you're looking for. Talking about booping, something I did on PTR was boop people off ledges with Brigitte.
Yes, so fun.
With her shield bash.
Yeah, not only with the shield bash. She used that one...
The flail in the face that knocks back.
Yeah, the flail in the face has a knockback too. So, oh man, it's so awesome to see a Mei going whoop over the edge, ice blocking and going down... She's actually like a bit of a mix of Reinhardt and Lucio, and she's actually a mix of everybody. Wow. It's kind of crazy.
From what I've heard, though, is that she's kind of giving like Overwatch a MOBA-esque kind of feel, which, you know, that whole role of playing together with your team and then her having her abilities being so MOBA-esque, it's kind of like giving Overwatch a little bit of a, you know, a little edge right there. It's really cool.
Well, they did say it would be meta-changing.
Yeah, they did. Definitely is.
Yeah, and I think that Lance already said it, like, they really introduced her to get over with the dive comp, just to counter that dive comp. If you combine her with Moira, well, you can dive all you want, but you'll have your ass kicked for sure.
Do you guys think that she fills, like, the support role or a tank role or flex? What do you guys think?
I'd say off tank. Main tank, no, but like off tankish, like a Zarya or something. Like, you wouldn't run her as the only tank, but I definitely say tank first and support / defense later.
Yeah.
Would you be upset if you were in a group and they pick Reinhardt and Brigitte instead of a second tank?
No.
No.
No. Would be fine by me.
No.
I foresee that happening.
I don't know. I foresee that happening too. And I'm not sure. She has that hybrid feel to her, but I don't know if she's enough of a tank to be a replacement for her, like, let's say, Zarya or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much health does she have? I didn't really notice.
She has 250 health and then 600 on her shield.
Yeah, okay. As long as she has her shield up, of course, she's a tank, that's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And have you, Hannah and Sugar, you have been playing her, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And how have you been enjoying her? Because you told us a few of your opinions, but did you have fun playing her?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was to the point.
Yeah,
I feel like you can, no matter what mood you're in, like, you know, because sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I want to support my team and feeling like in a very supporty role, you can do that. But if I want to hit things, I can still do that.
It's the best of all worlds.
She really is.
Swinging the slagger around.
Yeah, just hit things until you feel better.
Yeah, she's really fun to play.
It's therapy.
She is.
I like that you can do that you can perform different combos with her, like her shield bash stuns, and then once a person is stunned, it's really easy to hit them with your flail, with your shift ability, so you can shield bash them, stun them, and then knock them off the map with your flail, and there's different combos you can do. And I find that really satisfying if, like, you're able to land a combo like that, or, you know.
So in a way, she has a certain a Doomfist feel to her too.
Yeah, a bit.
If you do the combos really right, yeah.
I
that's something I've noticed too, but I like her better than Doomfist. I've been really enjoying playing her too.
She took some getting used though, because she has more abilities than the average Overwatch hero. Like she can hit people with her flail, then she has her shield that she can put up and that she can bash with, and then she can knock people back with her flail, which is the shift ability. And then she can throw armor packs at people with the E ability. So it's a bit more to juggle with than the average Overwatch hero. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of fun as well, because it makes her more versatile and, you know, more challenging to use at a decent level,
yeah,
I
definitely.
Think.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
is there anything you think that it will change? Anything you like? Something I noticed was the cooldown on the health pack.
Yeah, I think she's a tad too strong right now. I think the cooldown on the armor pack's a bit too low.
Mm-hmm.
That especially, and I think her ult charge is a bit too fast as well.
Yeah, I think that will be something that they'll nerf for sure.
Yeah, I just checked. The ult doesn't actually heal. It just distributes armor, but it gives people in the aura 30 armor per second up to 150. So,
which is
it's
nice.
Still pretty strong.
Yeah. I mean, when we were playing in the crew stream the other day, we had Torb and we had Brigitte. And I think as D.Va at one point, I had like 800. Like, with health and armor combined, it was insane.
If you could see it visually on your mech, it would just be D.Va in a big-ass tank, just trying.
It would.
Bring it! Bring it!
Try me!
With that small voice, bring it!
Try me!
During competitive, when you make call-outs and you're like, bring it! Bring it! Bring it! I can only imagine what that's going to sound like over voice calls.
Guys, get Brigitte.
Someone yelling for Brigitte. Armor or help, like Brigitte, help! You're like, it's Brigitte.
Someone's like, I don't know who you're talking about. It's Brigitte. Brigitte.
I'm sorry. Are you talking to me?
I can't wait for the spoof machinima called Brigitte Jones's Diary or something. You know, you just know it's gonna happen, right? All the memes.
I'm looking forward to the first ship that they're going to make with her.
Oh god, ships.
I've already seen it.
What?
It's with Farah.
Oh.
She's developing a big ship with Farah because they're both like second generation Overwatch. So there's like a lot of art of her, of the two of them like bonding over how their parents are always away.
Daughter on daughter.
And how they were slightly neglected during their childhood. And
I'm really starting to think that those ships are, the ideas behind them, the ways they find them, the motivations behind the ships are really getting slightly blurry. But whatever, whatever makes their boat float, I'm okay.
Yeah, whatever works for people.
Yeah, whatever. But talking about ships, well, the story behind her is actually really cool to see that daughter we've seen in the background for a few times, and then during the animation they did for Reinhardt at BlizzCon, she had a more prominent role, and today we know she'll be the next hero. The daughter of one of the lore-wise favorite heroes. He's not the favorite hero when it comes to the game itself, but he's really popular in the lore. So it's cool to see that happen.
And it is.
Who else in that family will step up?
She's got enough siblings.
Yeah, and she still has the cat. So
yeah, I feel like they have heroes for the next like 5 years just in that family.
Yeah, oh, I think Thorbjorn had an issue.
Wild speculation. Hey, remember the kid playing with the little toy on the Christmas?
Let's go with child number five.
Well, that's what you get with that little horny Swede.
Oh, no, you know what Thorbjorn says. Hard work pays off.
It does.
Oh man, he should make a t-shirt with Brigitte's head on that. I'm starting to start talk Swedish instead of English. Just make a t-shirt with Brigitte's head on it and hard work pays off. Euro 27.
I'd buy it.
Okay.
Same.
I'll get that t-shirt started. No worries.
Let's get it.
You heard it here first. New Omnic merch.
Incoming. So, I think we said everything we need to say about Brigitte.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some other updates, and not on PTR, but on the live server. And I think Sugar Pixie knows everything that happened on the live server this week.
Yeah, well, to keep it short and concise, we talked about this last week, 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, yeah, 2 weeks ago.
The Sombra, Doomfist, and May buffs. We talked about them then on the PTR, but they've hit live by now. And I've taken a look at the statistics on Overbuff, which is the website, I think, that keeps the most accurate or the most, like, the biggest pool of statistics or the biggest pool of input. First week thoughts for the three heroes are as follows. Sombra, her pick rate has gone up significantly. According to Overbuff stats, over the course of 1 week, it's more than 3%, which, you know, doesn't sound like much. But if you know that Sombra's pick rate before that was less than 1%, like 0.4 or 0.5, you know, going up by 3% is quite the increase. The curve is still going up, so we'll have to, like, wait and see where it stops or where it, like, evens out again. Her win rate's up as well by plus minus 8% now after 1 week of it being on the live server. So we'll have to... has it been 1 week? I can't remember. I think so.
Less than a week. It was in the beginning of the week.
People are even starting to talk about the Sombra meta. I've heard several streamers and pro players talk about the Sombra meta forming and the Sombra meta this and the Sombra meta that. And not all of them are really happy with it. The Friend, for example, mostly known for streaming these days, I think. He's not a fan at all. He calls it very unfun to play against. And he refers to the D.Va pre-rework, where her defense matrix would take the fun out of a lot of team fights because it would just absorb everything, like soldier ults and stuff. And he refers to that now with the Sombra changes, stating that the way that her hack works now, how fast it, like, charges and how fast she can cast it, makes it very unfun to play against. And he's worried that she'll become a must pick because she can, you know, continuously be, like, behind the enemy team and hacking people left and right and just locking them out of their abilities altogether. So we'll have to see what happens, but Sombra has definitely seen an increase in picks and in win rate, so we'll have to see over the coming weeks how that develops. On to the next one then, Doomfist. His pick rate has barely changed. On Overbuff, it's increased by 0.04%, so barely any increase. His win rate has gone up by less than 1% as well, actually 0.1%, so no real massive shift so far. The overall consensus seems to be that yes, the change is okay, but the overall picking of Doomfist is still not a good idea usually, because he's still too much of a niche pick on most maps and in most situations. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't really have that spot in the meta right now where you can say, hey, we really need a Doomfist here. Because there's usually other heroes that are more versatile and that can sort of fill the same role or the same gap. Yeah. So that's it for Doomfist. And then May, last but not least, her win rate's gone up 4%. Her pick rate's gone up 0.1%. So it seems that even though the win rate is slightly better, it seems the changes themselves have left most players unimpressed, or most players that didn't go for May before aren't going for May now either. Most people seem to still be sticking to the same old picks. So again, we'll have to see what happens in the future. I suspect that if people in the Overwatch League or something, for example, will start picking May more often or if they start to make May work, we might see more May picks, like, in general ranked Overwatch as well. Because people tend to like, hey, if the pros play it, it must be good, right? So we'll pick it as well. So
I feel like I've seen an increase in Winston play since the league.
Yes, definitely. I think so as well.
I haven't seen May really since like World Cup 2016.
I think we saw a May once last week, but I can't remember which match it was. I saw someone on Twitter raving about a May pick somewhere, but yeah, overall, buff wise, the only buff that has seen a significant like effect on pick rates and win rates has been Sombra's buff. So we'll have to see how that develops further in the coming weeks. I, for one, am not really enjoying Sombra 2.0, but maybe I'm alone.
I have a feeling that the Sombra is kind of being put in the same kind of level as Tracer now. But the thing is, with Tracer, at least you can fight the Tracer, while Sombra completely just cancels your ability.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see a little bit why Sombra would be just a little maybe OP, edging the OP side, but you know, haven't really seen too many Sombras in my games, at least. But
yeah, I think they just buffed too many things at the same time.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get as well. Like the weapon spread, I can totally live with because her damage output was way too wonky at times. That there's no doubt about that. But in terms of the hack and the reduced cooldown on the teleporter or the translocator, I think it's just too much because she can hack people in the backline, okay. But, you know, whenever your team turns around to counter her or to attack her, she'll just go bye-bye and use her translocator and she's out again. And she can put it down again almost instantly. So it's just a bit too much, I think. We'll have to see what happens. Maybe new.
And with Brigitte, too, we're going to have to see how, you know, it plays out with her being in.
Yeah.
Played more often.
We'll have to wait and see what happens when Brigitte hits the meta. And if they decide to like tweak Sombra a little more.
Yeah, they'll probably see some more tweaks incoming. They have to compensate for the fact that they removed that. That her ultimate no longer stacks with the health packs. And so they're looking for a way to keep the community happy, but still make her balanced. I think we'll see some shifts.
Yeah.
In the coming
weeks. I don't think she needs much changing. I just think.
Yeah.
One or the other thing needs to be tuned down.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, and Doomfist remains indeed a character that's really... Yeah, why would you pick Doomfist except for the fact that you like smashing things and you like the way he plays? When it comes to team composition, he still hasn't found his place. And May is still the devil, so let's just skip her. So with those changes and the Brigitte topic we discussed earlier, we asked ourselves, like, let's look forward. Well, a lot of people will be complaining, stop talking about the next heroes. We didn't get to the Hero 27 yet, but we like looking forward. That's the way we do it. That's the way we roll. Sugar Pixie, you had a topic, you had an idea. Which heroes were people asking Yellow before? And besides Brigitte.
Yeah, once Blizzard started teasing, like, hey, Hero 27, we're going to announce it soon, the rumor mill just went, you know, explodey. I've seen so many different heroes, people were yelling, it's going to be this one, it's going to be this one, it's going to be this one. But there's four names that I've seen around the most. The first one we already discussed, Mr. Jetpack Cat. He's become a bit of a meme since the Blizzard Watch or Overwatch Archives panel at BlizzCon last year. And the Brigitte teases with the cat paws and like the drawing underneath, the drawing on top where you could see like part of a jetpack with a kitty sticking out. They were just fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the heroes that people were sort of yelling for. Yes, give us Jetpack Cat. It was a bit. It's a bit of a meme, but there's still loads of people out there that want Jetpack Cat by the looks of it. Second of all, another character that has become a bit of a meme ever since the Overwatch Archives panel is a lady called Mama Hong. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Mama Hong. But she was in an image gallery at the Overwatch Archives panel, which was like a sort of gallery with all types of images from different heroes that the team went over in the really early stages of Overwatch, like heroes that they were thinking about actually putting into the game, but that didn't quite make the cut. And one of them was Mama Hong, who had by far the most epic portrait out of all of them. Because it's a bit...
I'm still rooting for Mama Hong.
Yes,
okay,
so
guys?
Am I.
Still
going I
hate
for that. Mama Hong. But yeah, for the people that haven't Googled her yet, you totally should. She's a really well, generous looking woman with an Asian feel. She has curlers in her hair, a cigarette sticking out of her mouth. And from what we could read in the image gallery, one of her abilities was going to be called manslaughter. So, you know, do with that what you... Yeah, just...
I think her weapon was a giant rolling, like, pin. What you would do is to, like, knead dough with or something like that. So, I think she's going to kick some ass. I really think she's going to kick ass if she was to made into a hero. Blizzard, please listen to us.
Yes, give it to us. They can even make her Mace mom or something. That she totally fit into the lore. It'll be great.
The devil's
she
mother.
The Antichrist and her mom. Yeah. With the manslaughter.
Gosh, I bet she'd be so mad at the Overwatch team as well after what May went through.
You left my daughter in the freezer for... What? But yeah, that's Mama Hong. Then we have two more that are a little more, you know, lore-oriented. And the first one's Liao. I think we've heard Nick talking about him as well. Liao is one of the 6 founding members of Overwatch, and we don't know much more than that. But loads of people are expecting him to turn up at some point, sooner rather than later, because we have Ana.
He must be on the list.
Yeah, he must be. We have Ana, we have Jack Morrison, or Soldier 76. We've got Reaper. I'm fully expecting Liao to turn up at some point. So some people were hoping that it'd be Liao. And then finally we have Emre Sarioglu, which was a name that no one had ever heard of until the first Brigitte tease, where we got a little inside information from an after action report of Operation White Dome in Turkey, which is apparently an operation in lore that Reinhardt and Torbjörn participated in, and which is supposedly where Torbjörn lost his arm. And the name Emre Sarioglu was named in there as well. So as soon as that name appeared, people were going, hey, maybe this is the new hero. Hey, they're going to introduce another guy that was on that mission with Ryan and Torp. But in the end, we got Brigitte. So who knows? Maybe we'll see him pop up again in the future. Maybe he's dead. Time will tell.
I wonder what where the whole setup with of that piece of lore was... that battle in the past, and we know that the uprising event is coming back in a few weeks, I guess in a week or 5, and with Brigitte being the result of that that teasing, I wonder if they'll still do, if we were on the right path or the idea that this will be the mission that we'll be playing in uprising.
Maybe that first tease wasn't just Brigitte. Maybe they were teasing it I don't know, a second map during the uprising event or something.
Setting the stage.
Setting the stage for a new map or something. We'll have to see.
And the fact that they mentioned Emre, won't be just a mere coincidence either. As we'll know in a few weeks.
Yeah.
By the way, to get back to Mama Hong, I think she would fit really well in an 80s movie.
Yes.
She would be perfect.
Yes, she would.
The perfect walk-on character in a certain point in the movie where you need that comic relief, that twist, and you would see Mama Hong shouting at you from a balcony or
with
something.
A rolling pin in her hand and her curling thingies in her hair. Yes.
The only thing I'm worried about is how she would fit into the whole everybody has armor, shields, and she would be there in her
bathrobe.
Gown, like your bathrobe, on her slippers, going... Oi,
bunny slippers.
Oi. After everybody.
It's okay. Mama Hong is tough. She doesn't need the extra armor. She can take it.
She has different armor. It's squishy, but just as effective.
She's still padded.
All right. Well, thank you for that insight. One of the heroes that we are still waiting for was Lynx. Lynx has been one of the characters I've been seeing going
Lynx
around.
Lynx 17.
But he moved back to the background. He got phased out a little bit in the last lore updates we got. He'll end up in the game eventually.
Maybe.
One day.
Someday, hopefully.
Yeah. They're all awesome characters. We need more. There's so much room.
We do.
I can only agree with that. But okay, let's move on to the next topic. We got a lot of other updates. Well, a lot. We got a few other updates on the PTR. So if you're testing Brigitte, I'm still mispronouncing that, whatever. You might have noticed that there are some slight UI changes in there.
Yes.
Tell us, Anna.
Okay, so one of the first things that I noticed when we logged into play the other day was that you can see your teammate's ultimate percentage. So when you hit tab and you can see kind of like your whole team comp and you can see which members of your team have their ult, now in that same space you see a percentage so you can see how close they are to getting their ult, which
that's clever.
Think is amazing. I think a lot of people have been asking for it for a very long time, just because people don't always communicate.
Yeah, so now you can keep old tabs on your entire team.
Yeah.
Like, all right, guys, let's coordinate for this attack. At least now, you know, if some people can't hear you or the mic or whatever, now it's like, okay,
so you can quickly double check and you can
see. We're going to blueprint this and not mess it up.
Yeah. Sounds like a nice feature indeed.
Yeah. Another one that they've got is, I didn't notice this one, but apparently there's a countdown ticker for when your teammates are due to respawn. So you can see how long before, you know, they're back in the fight, basically.
So there's actually a time on now, because you always had that little circle going before.
Yeah.
Something I keep an eye on when I'm playing Lucio, so I can boost people back to the payload or whatever we're doing. But now there is a number next to it or something. I don't know. I haven't noticed
it. It may be because I usually play as Mercy, so I can see how long I've got left to res them anyway. So I'm assuming that they've just implemented that for other people.
Yeah.
Because you can always see how long you've got left. It's like a little bar around the portrait of whoever's down. So you can see how long you've got left to res them.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
So, it makes sense to then apply that to something that the whole team can see. So you know how long you've got left before you've got the next wave of people coming to group together again.
To group up. Seriously, yes! Group up.
Please, group up!
All right, so those were the little changes we saw on PTR. I saw that we'll get a few more small updates in the coming few weeks. I think they have some other small plans ahead. Not only the skins for Brigitte, but some small things that will still hit PTR. Some other news we got this week, the smaller news. Senyata can walk. Tell us, Anna. Really? You're a giggle. She's imagining it all over again.
I am. So it absolutely slayed me when it first came out, if you can't tell.
We can tell.
So it was on a sign in the background of like one of the Overwatch League matches, because that's the new thing. Everyone brings their fun signs to the matches. And it was to make Zenyatta walk. And so there is a little animation of his little crossed legs, still knees still just as bent, but walking.
I see it too. It's hilarious.
And it's amazing. I think we're going to have to link it for people. So
you
that
just
they
see
can
the
see
video that inspired it, the Zenyatta walk.
No.
It's on YouTube somewhere. It's a guy jogging to Aha, Take on Me.
Okay, we'll have to look that up.
Jogging in tune with Take on Me is the video. So if you want to check that out, see where Zenyatta learned his fancy moves. Yeah. That's the place.
All right. I'll add it for the listeners to our show notes, so they can check it themselves. Did you know what the question is this week? So we had Torbjörn must wall climb, and then they did the Torbjörn wall climbing. Last week we had Zenyatta has to walk, and we saw Zenyatta walking. This week I saw signs asking for Roadhog to fly. That's just scary. I don't want a huge, lardy, evil man with a hook that talks like he farts above me in the sky.
When pigs fly.
Yeah, when pigs fly. So whenever Moggy and I team up as Moggy, it's my wife. Whenever we team up to play Roadhog and Mercy together, she always does like the little sort of naked belly dive Roadhog spray, and then I always put Mercy's wings behind it.
So that's where people got the idea.
Yeah, it could happen.
Okay, we'll have to wait and find out if Blizzard gives us a flying Roadhog after this week's matches. I'm looking forward to that. Something else that happened this week is the war between Overwatch and Paladins. What's going on?
I saw it. There's a bit of a riot between Overwatch, the Overwatch community, and the Paladins community. Paladins is a team-based shooter made by Hi-Rez Studios, which has undoubtedly has some similarities with Overwatch. And this discussion has been going since Overwatch was announced, or Paladins was announced. Like, oh my god, Paladins copied Overwatch. Oh my god, Overwatch copied Paladins, because Paladins was in development before Overwatch was announced. And wah, wah, back and forth, back and forth. But with the release or the announcement of Brigitte, it's become even worse, because apparently Brigitte's really similar to a hero from Paladins, both in kit and in the way she looks. And the internet just exploded. And Blizzard hasn't really said anything on the matter, but yesterday, I think, or early this morning, the CEO of Hi-Rez Studios placed a joking tweet like, hey, I'm really wondering, or otherwise I won't be able to sleep. If it was something about the pot and the kettle, whether Hi-Rez Studios would be the pot or the kettle in the whole Brigitte versus the Paladins character thing. And of course the internet exploded because the guy was joking, but you know, joke just goes over it. Yeah. And it's become even worse now. Internet. And even though like people from the Hi-Rez Studios team have said as well, like, hey, even if you want to go into, we don't even want to go into this whole Paladins versus Overwatch discussion and who copied who, because in the end, both of us are standing on the shoulders of Team Fortress 2, which really, you know, did this thing like earlier than both of us. So we're each doing our own thing, and whether people prefer one or the other, it's fine. Just, you know, these days in video games, there's so many games coming out, both from big companies and little indie devs and stuff. There's no way that you can make like a 100% original character anymore that doesn't have elements from some character that has been used at some point somewhere in the games industry. So
it was amazing to see after the announcement of Brigitte how many comparisons to other games. To her, we said it before, to the Horizon, the game made by, come on, the PlayStation
Horizon 4 Zero
game.
Dawn.
Yeah, indeed,
Horizon one of my Zero favorite Dawn. Games.
Then there was the comparison with that lead character. Then there were, I saw like every freaking game has a female character with a certain hairdo and with a certain kit, and everybody was making comparisons like they stole it from this game, they stole it from this game. But I saw the Paladins character, and I can understand why people think they're really close to each other. But like you said, and like the CEO of Hi-Rez said, it's become really difficult to built really 100% unique and new characters. There's so much out there. When you see blatantly copied games like that Chinese game we had a few months back, that's a different story.
That was amazing.
Well, amazing in the bad sense of the word.
Well, but yeah.
Yeah. That's something totally different. But I guess people need to choose sides. People need to pick sides and fight it out. It's always the same thing. So bring it!
Yeah, play nice, play fair, guys.
Let
each to their own. If you enjoy Overwatch, enjoy Overwatch. If you prefer Paladins, you're free to prefer Paladins. It's fine either way. Just be nice to each other, please.
And if love you play
around.
Both,
love all around.
Yeah. Good for you.
All right. So, the last piece of news this week, or at least the general news, is that season 9 of competitive started yesterday. Are you guys doing replacement matches?
I have done 2.
I haven't.
And then I quit because the salt was OP.
Salt Pixie was live.
Yeah, Salt Pixie Strikes Again. I did two matches. Both of them had at least one kid yelling at me or at other people, you know, yelling like, hey, I'm going to pick Torbjorn on attack and just sit there because you guys aren't doing anything anyway. I'm throwing, wah. So after two matches, I was like, eh, I'll do the rest on Tuesday with my brother in the Omnic stream. So I have my rainbow.
I was just going to ask, are you sure it wasn't Fusion that was doing that?
He was at work at the time. Otherwise, you would have been a suspect. But yeah, I'm going to save the rest of the placement matches for Tuesday when I can play with
something my to look brother. Forward to on stream.
Yes, more salt, more unicorns. Bring it.
I did one to do.
Lance, we should do our placement matches together.
We should. You gotta add me on PlayStation.
I will. Like, I haven't done any placement matches yet because, and I've not added you because I've just not launched. I've not turned on my PlayStation.
Plans are made.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just did two placement matches. One loss, one win, but
that's
gotta
fine.
Keep moving from there.
Exactly.
That's not bad. That's 50%. So
let's get it.
That's what they're aiming for, getting you at that 50%. I heard some people had issues with the season, like voice chat issues or something.
Yeah, I saw some pro players or something this morning, or like Masters or higher streamers this morning. I think it was on NA that were queuing competitive, and they were posting messages on Twitter like, hey, don't queue competitive right now because voice chat isn't working for some people. So there was, I think I saw one team that had voice chat working and the opposite team didn't have voice chat working and they were super
Ouch.
Salty and
yeah.
things were terrible. So
Ouch.
Yeah, I've not encountered it myself though. So I don't know how like.
Why
yeah,
think
it's,
might be.
It's a totally different service they build on the Battle.net service for that. So that was, I don't think it was a specific Overwatch issue maybe. Might have just been that other team that fucked up.
Who knows?
Who knows? All right, so that was it.
I didn't encounter it, so.
And we're all happy about that.
I just want to let everybody know that my girlfriend just opened up a loot box for me, and I just got the legendary Widow skin for Chinese Dog.
Yay!
I never play Widow, but yeah!
But at least you have it.
Fabulous while not playing Widow.
You got a dress!
I still haven't opened a new legendary skin.
And I'm happy, so.
I had the Widowmaker and the Pharah one till now.
I got Mercy, but that's the only one I sort of liked anyways, of the new ones, so I can deal.
I bought Mercy on day one because I had like 6,000 coins.
Show off.
Shut up and take my money.
She's making it rain coins.
I am! Here you go, everyone. But yeah, since then I've not had anything.
Yeah, it has been slim pickings for everybody.
And I've done all of my arcade boxes and I've been playing, you know, like nearly every day and nothing.
Blizzard wants you to buy loot boxes, Hannah. Buy them.
Yeah, they do.
Well, when is the event ending? Next week? So you still have good...
Yeah. I've still got the weekend.
But I think it's ending the end of the week, no? I'm not sure. We should check that.
I can't remember. Because they uploaded one date and then it was wrong and then they changed
it. But
it
was going to last for a full month. So I think we still have a week left to gather those skins and work on it. Okay, that was it for the general news. That brings us to the topic where Lanzapans can shine. It's esports.
Sparkle, sparkle.
So, tell us, because I've been missing it completely, what happened this week already? We're at day 3, I guess, of stage 2.
So yeah, today, Wednesday, February 28th, we saw Seoul Dynasty rematch the Dallas Fuel. This was a rematch to week 1 of stage 1. So Wednesday was actually like an entire day of rematches from week 1, stage 1. And we saw Los Angeles Valiant take the San Francisco Shock 3-1. Gladiators 4-0'd the Shanghai Dragons. Poor Dragons. I don't know. Hopefully they can get a win with their new additions, like the Guri and stuff like that.
When they arrive.
Is there any update on those new additions? Are they still somewhere in an airport waiting to...
Yeah, apparently they're still getting their visas and they're going to have the players training and, you know, have a little bit of like a translation courses to, you know, be able to keep them up to the Mandarin that the Chinese players speak. So that would be that'll be interesting. We'll definitely do follows up on those stories, how that's going. And then Thursday we saw Florida Mayhem lose to the London Spitfire 1-3. I got to say the Mayhem gave it a good shot, you know, going at least taking a map from like one of the top teams in the Overwatch League. And Houston Outlaws 2-3 the Philadelphia Fusion. Yeah. I was watching this game on the edge of my seat. Like, first of all, Houston was up 2 and they were looking confident. Linkser got up from his seat. The ref had to tell him to sit down a little bit. Like, I saw the hype in the Houston Outlaws. It was beautiful. And then, out of nowhere, the Philadelphia Fusion just came and did the reverse sweep. Took it to game 5, the final map. Intense, like, it's going to be the game that you tell generations to come.
Okay, that sounds like
I'm sad I missed it.
To watch. Yeah, I missed it too because I was sleeping. Damn those time schedules. I'm really... I wanted to see that game. And when I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was, of course, check... my buddies at the Houston did it, and I was so bummed. But it's nice to hear they took it to the end, and it needed to go to game 5 to
really solidify that Philadelphia Fusion right now. And Seoul Dynasty are currently undefeated in stage 2, so it's interesting to see them go up head-to-head. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that to happen. But New York Excelsior 4-0'd the Boston Uprising, which is kind of shocking. You know, I'm not really used to seeing the Boston Uprising kind of like slumping like that a little bit, but, you know, hopefully they can pick it up during this meta where Mercy's gone and Lucio and Zen and other supports are becoming more prevalent. But we still do see Mercy, so hopefully they pick it up.
All right.
Oh, and today's games, we have Florida versus Boston, Gladiator versus Seoul, and Dallas versus Valiant. I believe that's going to be a must-watch game.
Yeah.
So, and then the final games are going to be Saturday, Philadelphia versus London. That's going to be the must-watch game of the day. Houston versus NYXL. I was a tough one between Philadelphia versus London, since those two teams are doing really well. But so is Houston, and so is NYXL, so let's not discredit them. And then finally, Shanghai versus San Francisco Shock. So maybe I believe that that's a team that Shanghai actually has a possibility because San Francisco's not doing so hot, but I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah. That could make a difference in the next stage.
I really want them to have a big win. I really do.
Yeah. It will be hard for them.
I know.
All in due time, Hannah. All in due time.
We believe. You gotta.
You gotta believe. That's the way those sports work on every level. You have teams that end up at the bottom of the ranks one season, and the next season they're on top.
Yeah, you gotta believe.
We believe in you, Dragons.
Go, go, go. So for new players, we have... Actually, this is actually pretty good because we've seen some of the rosters... like start their players, the new signees, such as EQO, who's an amazing Genji from the Philadelphia Fusion. They 4-0'd the Mayhem last week in stage in week 1. And he says that he has a more passive playstyle to Shadowburn, which is unbelievable. This kid came out of nowhere. He actually played for World Cup Israel during the World Overwatch World Cup, and he just came out of the blue. He's a great Genji, does a really good job with Pharah, and started for 2 games. So we're excited to have, you know, Philadelphia has 2 very strong Genji players right now. So they might switch him up. You know, Shatterburn's more comfortable with like the Pharah Sombra. So definitely excited to see the Philadelphia Fusion vary up their DPS roster. Also, AKM. Now this guy was a former player for Rogue. So some of his former teammates include Soon from the Los Angeles Valiant, Unko, who's currently in the Los Angeles Valiant, and AKM, he's just making noise. He's a dirty, dirty Soldier 76 player. Yeah, Dallas seems to be doing really good, you know, with AKM to the addition.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot better than the previous stage.
So good.
On every aspect. And Siegel is moving off tank for the fuel.
Yeah, Siegel's apparently, you know, he's been kind of like the DPS for a while, but Siegel was always a prevalent Zarya player. During World Cup 2016, he played Team USA, and he just showed off some good skills playing Zarya. So they're going to give him to off tank, which I could foresee Siegel thriving in. We'll just have to wait and see. And Fact Fiction moved to the Houston Outlaws. He's actually, they play the Philadelphia Fusion. They're former partners with, or former teammates with Shadowburn, Fact Fiction. And, you know, they were on Fact Fiction was on FaZe along with Shadowburn and Rockus. And now Houston Outlaws have acquired Fact Fiction, which is the Optic Gaming. So there's always been kind of a rivalry between Optic and FaZe. And now it's translated over to the Houston Outlaws and Philadelphia Fusion, who has rosters from those former teams. Interesting to see. Very interesting.
Nice.
And just want to give a little shout out to the LA Valiant Watch Party that's happening today at the Thistle Draft Shop in Santa Ana. I believe if you guys want to give us a shout out to mention your watch parties on the podcast, just let us know. That would be cool, so we can let your fans know, or get the rally up the crew so you guys can watch a watch party in your area. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Let's get more watch parties.
Yeah, yeah. If you know about a watch party, tell us, let us know, and we'll share it with our listeners and get some Omnic Boost followers in there. I have to warn you, they drink a lot of booze. They tend to steal all the snacks, but they're okay.
More the merrier.
So there were also some new announcements for Contenders.
Yeah, so Contenders kicks off March 19th for Korea and March 11th for North America and all the other regions. That's going to be interesting. Some good lineups, some academy teams like Philadelphia, Fusion Academy. They have the Mayhem Academy, which are the smaller minor leagues that are going to be competing in Overwatch Contenders. Mm-hmm. So very interesting to see. Going to be very excited to watch former runaway player Kaiser, who's now for Optic Academy, the offshoot of Houston Outlaws. He's a great Reinhardt. I'm giving him a little hype here because I used to watch Apex Season 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'm just going to give him a little shout out there. Go Kaiser.
Yeah, I talked about him last week too because he's a really great Reinhardt player, and he has been hopping teams in the last, let's say, half year, really looking for a team that can bring him stability. He said it in an interview. He has a family and he wants to provide his family with stability. That's the reason why he left Runaway.
Yeah.
Runaway is not happy with that because he is an awesome, awesome Reinhardt player. So I'm really happy to see him join the Outlaws. Well,
yeah. He's really good friends with Mendo. Mendo Kusai of the Houston Outlaws.
Oh, so nice. Yeah. So they're almost in the same stable now.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Lance, for the update on everything esports. I feel like I'm back up to date now. I've been missing a lot of those games because, well, being busy with a lot of stuff. One of the things I've been working on really hard together with Dead Pixel, our trusted tournament organizer in our team, is the Omnic Cup for the 1 year anniversary of our Instagram account. We're doing our first 1v1. We've been talking about it for weeks, so you must know about it by now. But we're doing our first 1v1 tournament, and everything is set up. So tomorrow, we're on Friday now. On Saturday, we'll start with the first rounds, the qualifiers. And on Sunday, we'll do the finals per region. So we have a North American region and a European region. Make sure to check it out on Sunday on our Twitch channel. We'll be broadcasting all those final games on our Twitch channel, so you can follow along. And we'll crown the first ever Omnic Cup champions for North America and Europe. I'm really looking forward to this. It has been a lot of work. It has been slightly stressing at some points, but I'm really glad to have that pixel there to help me and have you guys to help me out and help us out with the reffing. But it's going to be an awesome weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yes, and I hope so we can do that again in the future. Would be awesome. Yeah. So to round up the podcast, well, round up, we're going to do something different this time. Our Lance Pons has a small quiz for us. So take it away, Lance.
Let's get it. So I created a little quiz called Who Fired It? And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a hero's weapon and you're going to tell me what hero it is.
Yes.
Are you guys ready?
Let's go.
All right.
Okay.
Bring it.
Let's get it. All right. So the first weapon, you guys want to start off a little easier, start with something hard. How do you guys feel?
Start with easy. Let's build
okay.
up.
Okay. Number one is going to be Hellfire Shotgun.
Reaper.
Die, oh, die, die.
All right.
Yeah, I was...
I think he's the only one with shotguns, so I was like,
Yeah, and Hellfire was a bit shotguns. Of a giveaway.
That was the easiest it'll get. I guarantee you, okay. It's getting it harder is. From here.
Okay.
Bring it.
All right. Who wields the rivet gun?
Torbjörn.
Torbjörn. Oh, you guys are good.
Well, right. To be honest, I said Torbjörn, so I was not quicker, faster, but I was better. Sorry, Sugar.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay, big guy. Okay.
On to the next. Who wields the machine pistol?
Sombra?
Oh, what? That was a good one. I thought for some reason someone's going to take a little extra time to figure that one out. But
yeah, it was
good.
I was just rebooting my brain. I was like, what?
You got hacked by Sombra.
Yeah, apparently.
Speed hack.
Hey, nice one, Hannah.
All right.
I would never have guessed that.
Let's give you guys two more. Let's see. Who wields the fusion driver?
Winston.
No.
Take another guess.
The dead silence was enough of a giveaway, so I'm out.
My brother probably knows this, but I can't ask for a helpline. God damn it.
Is it Orisa?
Hannah, you're on a roll. All
right.
I'm like, that's a negative point. How did you not know that was Orisa's fusion driver? It said it in the blueprints.
I think Hannah is really quick on Google.
I'm not, I promise.
Shots fired.
I wish I was that quick on Google.
You could make a career out of it. On your resume, what you're good at, Google.
It's not Google.
I know.
It's my brain, okay? It's my brain. Okay, last one.
I swear it's just luck.
Who wields the scrap gun?
Know that.
Oh, I know. Roadhog.
Junkrat. Roadhog. It's Roadhog, really.
It's Roadhog. Yeah. That's Roadhog.
It's Brohawk.
While I was saying Junkrat, I was like, what are you saying? Really? Sit down. I was talking
It did sound like it could be a probable, like you said, Junkrat. No. So I would have probably said Junkrat as well, had I not have the answers in front of my face, but...
That would have been really weird if you had said Junkrat while you're staring at Roadhog. Might have been an
opinion. That wraps it up for Who Fired It.
Okay, I guess we have to declare Hannah the winner.
Hannah's the winner. Yes.
Oh, yay!
She's almost as happy as the walking with the walking Zenyatta. So.
I am.
Who needs an Oscar when you can win the Who Fired It quiz?
Exactly.
Kudos.
All right, nice one, Lance. I enjoyed that. We must do that again the next time.
Yes.
Just
more quizzes to come.
More quizzes to come. Sharpen Definitely. Our knowledge on the game. Okay, I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast this week. I would love to thank, as usual, my lovely co-host. Let me start out with Sugar Pixie. Something you want to tell our listeners?
If you want to check out the legendary Salt Pixie in all her might and glory, you can tune in to the Omnic stream on Tuesday evening, EU time, where I'm probably going to be playing competitive Overwatch with my brother Fusion, who will try to keep me sane while I surrender to the Salt. And in the meantime, if you can't get enough of my Salt, I am trying to stream on my own channel, which is twitch.tv/sugarpixie on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday at 1 p.m. European time. So, yes, Salt for everyone. Salt for days.
All right, Hannah, how about you? Tell us.
Do people really want to hear my Twitter handle again?
Don't spell it maybe this time, just tell them.
Okay,
again.
Come follow me on Twitter, Hannah McManna. There you go.
And then Lance Pons.
You guys can find me at Lance Pons on Twitter. And if you're a Mayhem fan, make sure you follow the fan page, FL Napalms. That's the Florida Mayhem Instagram page, for a fan page. Make sure you guys definitely check that out.
Indeed. And make sure to check out our website and our own Instagram account. Keep an eye on our Twitch channel, like Sugar Pixie just said. She'll be streaming, Fusion will be streaming, we have Million Thursdays. I'm still brewing on plans to do a stream together with Hilde. We have plenty of content coming up on Twitch, and we have the Omnicube this weekend. You'll be following, watching the players killing each other one by one, which will be awesome.
Yeah, gonna be hype.
Yes. All right. I would love to thank you all for listening and sticking around till the end to hear our lovely quiz. You guys rock. Help us out by giving us a review, by subscribing to whatever platform you're listening to, and I hope to see you guys all back next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.